there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro, my man Wayne. Yeah, this is Cats with a Dish. This is John Katsalamidis of Greenspun Media Group. I write the Cats Report in Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com. I'm in Las Vegas Weekly and in The Sunday, our new print piece. And I have the cover story in the Las Vegas Weekly that's just out now. And check it out. And I also have the cover story in Vegas Magazine. So check that out, too. That's on Veronique. Man, am I busy, but not busy enough for you, honey. Trisha McCrone is joining me once again. How are you doing?
Hi, and I once again can be found on Twitter at Trisha McCrone, on Instagram at Trisha McCrone, Trisha McCrone on Facebook, and at Cats of the Dish on Twitter.
And on the odd month at the Spinnaker.
And the Spinnaker.
In what city is that in? Kalispell?
No, Lakeside.
Lakeside. Oh, like I'm supposed to.
Duh.
It's all one city to me up there. It's all one town. I don't know.
I was Miss Spinnaker.
I know, but that was just
2013.
One year. In my mind, you've always been Miss Spinnaker.
There goes, unfortunately.
Before we even knew what the Spinnaker was.
Exactly. So now, also, I just got back from Palm Springs.
Oh, aren't you fancy?
I was fancy, yes.
What's happening there?
Did a couple shows. He did a show, the Barbara Sinatra for the Children's Hospital, the Frank Sinatra Golf Celebrity Classic.
It's
still going on, and it was at Fantasy Springs. It was a lot of fun, and Miss Sinatra is the most, she's so beautiful. She's a stunning woman.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. There was a table because at the after party thing, there was a little table that was all, it was a supermodel table.
Oh, boy.
Like, it was all, like, wow. Kim Alexis and, like, all these people. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's, like, all of the people that are extremely beautiful and extremely skinny are all sitting at one little table at the after party.
On purpose?
Yeah, like, they're friends, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't go to the event because I spent time with my gorgeous niece, Lauren, who just happens to be in the studio today.
She's our studio audience.
Yes, along with
my mom. How's it going in there, baby?
Yay! She's giggling. So, but then I went to the after party, which was fun, and then Wayne had a show Sunday night. But Palm Springs was beautiful, going down El Paseo. It was just fun to get, you know, it's fun to kind of just get away and do something a little bit different. It was fancy. I felt very fancy.
It's funny you should mention that because the first time I actually did ever talk to Wayne, ever met him, and it was very briefly, and I spent maybe 2 minutes with him, was on at the pool at the Desert Inn for the party for the Frank Sinatra Pro-Am in 1996 or 7.
Then you would have met me too.
I don't know that you were there then. Or 98 even.
I was there.
But I don't think I met you then. I didn't meet you then because I just talked to him about how come he didn't golf.
Yep.
That was the question I asked him. And you know what he said? He says, if I started to golf, I'd never be able to stop.
Yes. And he also sees all that grass and he wants to put horses on.
Right.
So now let's move on to the fact that you'll never age to me, but this Saturday you're getting a year older.
Yeah, I turn a certain age.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to men. I was born on March 1st, 1966. And speaking of the Sinatras, you know what the number one song was the day I was born?
What?
These Boots Are Made for Walking by Nancy Sinatra.
That's a great
song. That was the song, yeah. It was number one for 1 week, and that was the week.
We're Twitter friends, by the way, at Trisha McCrone.
You and I?
No,
oh,
Nancy
you and Nancy Sinatra.
Sinatra.
I know we're Twitter friends.
Of course we are. We do a show together.
I thought you were referring to me.
No, Nancy Sinatra.
I was wondering how come I kept getting tweets from you.
Wow.
Anyway, I want to be friends with her, too. I need to tell her that story.
Okay.
I'm one heartbeat away now from Nancy Sinatra.
Yes, you are, from Nancy Sinatra.
Who would have thought? So we're doing a thing on Saturday night at the Tropicana, ladies and gentlemen, and it's just a hangout. It's just all of us are getting together to be with Sky D. Miles. And we're going to all hang out there. And in lieu of gifts, we're asking people just to make a donation to the St. Baldrick's Foundation at stbaldricks.org. And this ties into how come I'm having my head shaved again this year.
Yeah, and I have nothing to do. I guess I did a bad job because I wasn't as
You did
back.
A wonderful job last year. No, you did a great job. And you know this, too. I didn't want to do this.
No, you said you'd never do it
again. I would
never
do it again. And they texted me during a meeting and they asked me, they said, Katz, what do we have to do to get you to shave your head? And I said, I want $10,000 in the head of Fidel Castro.
Wow.
And because, you know, and they said, what if we can get a name of somebody who is famous, super famous to help with the charity, get exposure to the charity, awareness of the charity. And I said, well, Holly Madison would do it, I would do it. I didn't think there was any way that Holly Madison was going to do it. Holly Madison said she would do it. Now I'm in.
There you go. There you go. Get your hats out.
So they're going to make a big deal about this on the wire. Denise Trussell is going to shoot it, and they're going to raise a whole ton of money and awareness for people who are suffering from children who are suffering from all forms of cancer.
It was inspiring last year, even though I was very nervous. And I tried to give you a little bit of hair, and then they're like, "No, you've got to take it all."
They took the hurt. So that's the backstory on this whole thing.
But they, little girls that were doing it, mm-hmm. that the little children that were doing the St. Baldrick's, I was shocked by. I mean, it was a sweet gesture. It's a wonderful charity, and I think that's a lovely thing.
So all day long at New York, we're going to have the Jersey Boys are going to be there, some cast members from Absinthe, Million Dollar Quartet, those types of people. The band Phoenix is going to play again. They played last year. It's going to be a big thing. And last year, at New York, there was $170,000 raised. So it's a big deal. We're hoping to do something like that again this year. And on that note, we need to talk about our guests.
Yes, we do. She's lovely from across the pond.
Across the pond and at the Pyramid Hotel. It's Chloe Crawford, who dances in fantasy, and she's also the Cyber Girl of the Month on Playboy.com. So we're going to be talking to her. But first, it's Josh Bell with movies, so stick around. I know we will.
Hi, this is Paul Shortino.
And this is John Payne.
From Raiding the Rock Vault.
And you're listening to us on Cats with the Dish. Yeah!
Passenger on board this flight has threatened to kill someone every 20 minutes. Unless they're paid $150 million. And now, three people are dead. The bomb will explode in less than half an hour. They want you to believe that I'm responsible.
That's Liam Neeson as Air Marshal Bill Marks in the new thriller Nonstop. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. In Nonstop, a New York to London flight is targeted by a mysterious assailant who taunts Neeson's tormented air marshal and threatens to kill a passenger every 20 minutes. The movie's first half is tense and sometimes surprising, but the more the villain's convoluted plan progresses, the less convincing the movie becomes. Eventually, not even Neeson's very particular set of skills is enough to pass off this far-fetched hokum as anything more than a dead-end trip. I give Nonstop 2.5 stars out of 5. With the Oscars airing on ABC on Sunday night, the Oscar-nominated live-action and animated short films will be showing in special programs at the Century Suncoast on Saturday and Sunday. The animated program is a bit disappointing, and the best short is the one that viewers are most likely to have already seen, Get a Horse, the clever, self-referential Mickey Mouse short that played in front of Disney's Frozen.
Make way for the future!
The live-action shorts program is stronger, including one movie, the French drama Just Before Losing Everything, that could easily compete with the feature Best Picture nominees. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva. Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the reigning Cyber Girl of the Month for Playboy.com. And Playboy is kind of an adult man's gentleman's website based on the magazine.
I've never heard of it. I'm just kidding.
I can't say you just read the stories.
Do you just read the ads?
Online. I don't know about that. We'll have to ask our guest this. She's probably familiar with this because she's in it. She's also a cast member of Fantasy at the Luxor and the onstage assistant and, in fact, wife of comic magician Murray Sawchuk at the Laugh Factory at Tropicana. Welcome to Cats with a Dish, Chloe Crawford.
Hi.
And we love Chloe's accent.
What accent?
I hear there's an accent, but you're from, it's not an accent.
Where are you from?
I'm from Portsmouth, England. It's near London, south of England.
So. And I know that you came to Las Vegas because of Murray, basically.
I did.
So how did that all come about? How did you guys meet?
We met, it'd be like 7 years ago now. We were on tour in Mexico, and I was in a show out there touring, and then he was out doing his own show. His assistant was leaving. He needed a new magician's assistant, obviously. I got asked, and I was like, yeah, sure, I love magic. I was a big fan watching it on TV and stuff like that when I was a kid, but I'd never, I didn't know anything about it. So I thought, why not? And I started working with him, and it just kind of went on from there. 7 years later, we got married. That's the quick
version. Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. That's love. Got married.
Chloe, what type of show were you in Mexico at the time when you met him?
I was just a dancer. It was just a production show. It's Gina and Ryan Productions. I just danced. Which now it's funny saying that just dance. I feel like I do a lot more now. But but back then I just danced and I was happy just doing that. So yeah. That was a long time ago.
I mean, did you ever have any thoughts or aspirations to someday go to Las Vegas? Or was it kind of like, okay, I'm in love with this guy with Las Vegas. Now I have to go to Las Vegas.
It was never the plan at all. It wasn't like some people go, oh, I want to go to New York and be on Broadway. It was never like that. I was always just open to try new things and go to new places. So, you know, he happened to live here, which it's worked out great for us. So.
It's handy that he lived in a place where there's a lot of work for entertainers.
Yeah, thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot different than if you lived in like Ames, Iowa.
We'd be a little
We probably wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Probably
right?
not.
And Murray's hair would be really ridiculous in Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, I didn't know we'd last very long.
As opposed to now, where it's not
as
ridiculous
as now,
at all.
It's actually not. It's not that ridiculous
actually,
because of the fact that he's in Vegas. It's like
I know there are like three people like have his hair too, share his hair. Chris Phillips, Zoe Boy, has that kind of
we get
spiky
mistaken
blonde hair.
For them all the time.
I'll bet you do. It's actually, yeah.
We went to Grimaldi's opening, the pizzeria, and they were like, "Oh, we love your group." And we're like, "Group?" And then he was like, "Oh, that's Zoe Bowie." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, not quite." He's coming though.
And so. Marley hasn't lived here
in forever.
So. I mean, she's gone off and got married. I think
about
she went brunette.
Years.
I mean, like all of these things that people are still holding on to those billboards from years ago with.
They were ridiculous. They're just amazing, those billboards.
But. You know, the model for the Zoe Bowie, as has always been, has been a couple. You know, there's two of them in there, no matter. One keeps sort of changing, but it has been a couple. Are you guys going to develop an act, you and Murray, that kind of features you both equally, do you
like,
think,
yeah,
over the course of time?
Like, yeah, so it would be Murray, Sawchuk, and Chloe? Or?
Yeah.
I don't think...
Instead of you, like, being, like, part of his act on occasion, do you think you'll go in that direction more?
I don't think with magic, just because... That's kind of his life, just like he's not going to start dancing in fantasy. You know, we have our
separate...
That was
my next question. You
know, we do have our separate careers as well. But, you know, we've shot a lot of pilots together. We've shot some TV together too, some stuff that has actually aired too. So we'd love to host together or do reality TV together or anything like that. But I think on stage it's nice to... have our own things going on because he's, you know, magic is his thing. Comedy is his thing. It's definitely not mine. I dabble, but I'm not great. So it's nice to have our separate things because, you know, we live together, work together, everything together. So it's nice to have separate lives a little bit.
Yeah.
So how did Fantasy come about?
I was here for a few months. I was doing Murray's show and I started looking for shows in town that worked with our schedule because at that point his show was at 7 p.m. So I didn't get out till like 8:30. So that kind of... cut down on a lot of early shows for me. And yeah, I started going and watching them. And then an audition for Fantasy came up and a few other shows. And I was really lucky to get a couple of offers. And I saw Fantasy years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, and was like, I think this is the one. And it kind of just, I was really lucky. It kind of just fell into place. I was very lucky.
Right.
Time-wise.
You mentioned TV projects, and I know Murray's been...
Well, we was always mentioning those.
I know Murray's, over the course of time, you know better than anybody, Murray's always had some sort of reality thing going on.
As a matter of fact, I hired Murray and was Murray's producer.
This is like 10 years ago, right?
The Vida TV.
I mean, this goes back to when you met him, right? Yeah.
No. I met him forever ago with Doug and
But that was
Seth.
About 10 years ago.
Yeah, about 10 years ago. But it was about 5 years ago that... I hired Murray to be a host on the V.TV. TV. So I produced Murray for a while. So yeah, he loves, he is like game to do any kind of TV, which I think is phenomenal.
He is. And we've done a few random things, but yeah, it would be nice if we could just, you know, go about our already crazy lives and just someone shoot it and put it on TV. That would make our lives just so much easier.
Is there anything going on right now that can
we've shot a few things. I actually shot. With the Playboy stuff, I shot for Playboy TV. They came in and did a day in the life with me. So that was pretty cool and weird, very weird. Like 4 people come in, shoot, came to the house with the dogs and shot some stuff backstage and, you know, and some stuff of me and Murray on stage. And it was a lot of fun. I was like, I could do this every day.
Really? You would be okay with that?
They were very easy to work with, though, and accommodating. It wasn't a pain in the butt. And we didn't have to pretend it was my life. And
yeah,
right.
Because it already is pretty.
Is it on the site now, or is it available now?
It goes on. It'll be on Playboy TV. That airs, I think, it's either March or April. I'm still waiting to.
Have you seen the final cut?
I haven't, but I've seen bits and bobs.
And is
bits
it okay?
and bops. I love it when she said that. Bits and bops.
I'm familiar with the bits, but not so much with the bops. Is it okay with you, what you've seen so far? Because a lot of times people have this experience, you know, with reality TV, and it seems okay. And then you see the final version of it, and you think,
oh my
what
God, yeah.
the world happened to my friend here on this TV show?
And you literally do, I mean, as someone who produced reality TV and has... not starred in any of it, but it's kind of been ancillary to other people that have been in reality TV, that you really have no control over the final edit. And you could literally be reacting to one thing and they can make you be reacting to another, which is, it's kind of sad in a way, but as wanting to make good TV, which I understand as a producer, you kind of lose all of that. Would that worry you?
With this project, it didn't, just because it wasn't about anyone else. It was all about me, you know, so... They were on my side. They weren't trying to get anything out of me. It wasn't about me having a cat fight with someone or anything.
There wasn't anything
like that. Which Murray totally gets that. Murray, like,
yeah, and
Murray's
we're all
like,
about playing up when we need to. But this wasn't about that. So we were very lucky. I think it kind of broke me into it a little bit, which was nice. I got a nice experience. But yeah, we've shot a few things and we have to, you know, when stuff's coming out of your mouth, you know that it's going to end up being, you know,
yeah,
come across in a different way. But you know what? It makes good TV.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So now, I mean, how do you do it? I mean, because now you've got the Playboy thing, which obviously most of that's done already, right? So you just wait for it to come out.
Yeah, I shot, I started with them last year. My Cyber Girl of the Week stuff came out in January. Obviously, Cyber Girl of the Month for February. So that's all out right now. I have one other set, I think, coming out in a few weeks of photos. And then I kind of just see where that goes. That's just kind of been progressing because I just went in to, you know, see if they would take me at all. And then we started with this. Then obviously the Playboy TV stuff that's coming out and just see what else.
But when you do the two shows, is it hard to do two? I mean, I know that people get exhausted after one show. Is it, and that's when they're repeating the same show. I mean, is it hard to just totally switch gears and different properties and everything?
I think I'm kind of used to it now, but they're so different.
Yeah.
They're such different shows. Murray's show, I really don't do that much. I'm hanging out on my phone most of the time, my Facebook and Twittering and whatever. So it's an easy gig for me. And, you know, everything is pretty much done before the show. Everything's prepped. So, you know, it's just going on, getting in a few boxes and then that's it. It really is. It's so easy.
I got to a few boxes. That was it.
But, and then Fantasy is, you know, I've done it now, what's it, a year and a half, I think. So I'm pretty settled now. It just kind of feels like my normal day job, night job, either way.
Have you considered, and I've heard something about you recently, that you're looking into doing some magic yourself?
I've done a little.
And tell us about your development in this medium, because I understand you might be doing something on stage independently.
Oh, Murray.
I may have. I dabbled a little. I learned a little just because, you know, people would always ask. People always ask me if I can do tricks. And in interviews, they're like, well, you're his assistant. You must be able to do something. And I'm like, well, I better learn something. So I learned a few things. And then I learned an old act of Murray's that he did years back. It's like 4.5 minutes. It's with umbrellas and parasols and silks and stuff. It's not really technical, but it's a great start. Like, it's a great, great start for me. And yeah, I performed that at Christmas. We did a Christmas show in Summerlin. And then I did it again when we were in Palm Springs. And yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it, but it's so scary. Like, you wouldn't believe how nervous I was. It's ridiculous. I'm so comfortable on stage in Fantasy, and I'm like half naked in that one. And then Murray show is easy. But yeah, doing something just completely different, it's the nerves are back, which is good. I enjoy that.
So you're nervous
with
all the props around you.
It's scary.
But you're okay otherwise in Fantasy.
Topless. Maybe I just have to do topless magic. Maybe that's the way to go.
was Fantasy the first topless show you'd ever done?
Second. I did one back when I was like 18. It was the first show I ever did. It was 2 weeks in a casino in Italy. And I just wanted to work. I needed stuff on my resume because, you know, the more you work, the more people will want to book you. And I did it. And I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. Didn't do it for, you know, 5 years or whatever. And it's fine. Like, the first night, you're like, oh, my God. And then you're like, it's time. Let's do it. And then it's really fine.
In this show you're talking about, you're in a cast of Yeah, couples, people in the show in Italy.
Yeah, there was, I think there was 8 girls, and there was actually only 2 that were topless. It was full on showgirl Jubilee style, which I haven't done in a long time. I'm a little short for that, but
so you had the big headpieces and everything.
Oh yeah, ridiculous.
Is that just? I mean,
a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. But.
I mean, that when we've had the Jubilee girls sitting in here in full costume, and how they had to sit so that their heads didn't just topple over was just ridiculous. I mean, was that had to be kind of at 18, that had to be a little bit of a harsh realization.
You're
not only worried about, being topless, you know, but then you also have to make sure that your props that are literally coming off of your body are in.
It was a kick up the butt for sure. And it was, my first proper contract, first thing, you know, that I was dancing and I was getting paid for it. I thought it was great. But I learned a lot in a very short amount of time, like 2 weeks. I learned a hell of a lot. Yeah, I grew up very quickly that year. But it was a lot of fun. And I'm all about just throwing myself into things and then worrying about it later.
Did that help you adapt to fantasy, that show?
Yeah, I think because I was like, I've already done it. And when you do the audition for fantasy, you dance and whatever, and you're not topless for the whole, couple of hours. You're just there and you're not wearing a lot because they need to see your body. But then, you go backstage and then you go topless because they want to make sure, you have 2 and, that's the main thing. No surprises.
That is the basics, isn't it?
There you go.
So, yeah, and it's, and everyone else is, it's not like you're the only one. So it's really not a big deal now.
Yeah, I've seen, your producer, Anita Mann. I've sat with her at a few shows.
Anita Mann! I'm sorry, every time I hear her voice, I have to
goes in my ear every time I say her name.
The Eurythmics song comes in, Anita Mann.
And she takes pretty extensive notes, show notes, all the time. Yeah. She's always doing show notes. She's always taking notes on everything. She takes notes on shows that aren't even hers. She just can't stop doing it. But I've sat with her during Fantasy, and when Jamie Lynch, the singer, came in, and when Lorraine Apparel also started singing there, that was the case. And I always wondered what it would be like to be on the other side of these notes, and meet with her and confer with her based on the notes that she comes up with during the show. What's that process like? It seems like she's very, very strict and has a really high standard for what's going on stage.
She is, but I think the worst part is when you're on stage and you see her making notes. That's the one, because you can see her.
They're all,
you're
the
first, like, I don't know, 6 rows, and she's like right in the middle, and you're like, oh, she's writing something again. And if you're the only one on stage, that's like, oh, dear, it's me. It's definitely me right now.
Yeah.
And then she comes backstage after the show and she's always really lovely about it. She's never mean. It's never like, it's always a positive, positive energy backstage. So that's nice. But, she wants it to carry on. And it's been, 14 years now. Mm-hmm. So she didn't, we all wanted to keep on going too. So, and you're used to it. As dancers, you get criticism all the time, whether it's the way you're dancing, the way you look, your size, whatever, you are used to it.
Well, obviously, I mean, you're very tiny and you don't have to worry about it. But do you maybe see with the other girls, because obviously I know this isn't your problem, but that you get worried about, because I mean, I watched a thing on, was it Jubilee? That they did a reality show about it. And women were so nervous about they were always getting on scales and always being weighed. Is it that kind of a thing?
We don't have weigh-ins backstage. I don't know if Fantasy ever did. I know a few shows do. I don't necessarily believe in it because I think you can be a certain weight and look a certain way and it really depends on your muscle and so many things. I think it's more about the way, you look. If you're looking a little chunky, I guess. Yeah. I'm trying to put it nicely. If you're like, and we all know at Christmas, we all put on a few pounds. Everyone does it. And then we know January, we're back to the salad. But everyone in the show is such a different look. It's not like we all have to match. We're not all 6 foot tall and 110 pounds. We're so different. You've got curvier girls. You've got tall and stick thin. It's such a mixture, and I think it works because you don't have to match anyone at all. So you all have your own looks.
Yeah, there are other shows where everyone, like Jubilee,
I just,
they have
exactly
to look the same. Same thing with when Crazy Horse Paris was here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Those and two shows are great examples.
Yeah. So we're really lucky that it's
you have
so
individuality.
Much more open. Yeah.
So now you have so much going, both of you, with your careers. I mean, you're newlyweds. I mean, sort of still.
Kinda.
Yeah. So you're still kind of newlyweds. Do you guys think about starting a family? I mean, what that would.
We've spoken about it. We always talked about it because we wanted to know where we were at before we got married. We'd like to in the future. Now is not the time. Definitely not the time. I think I only just now kind of feel settled in Vegas, so that took a minute. In a few years, and we're both only children, so I think one would be enough.
Yeah.
I say that now, but we start, well, that happened with the dogs, and now we have three, so we will see.
Well, and I do have to say, I've known Murray for, Murray's been a friend for a long time, and his parents are such lovely, lovely people.
They
so
are.
Please tell hello to your in-laws.
I will.
They are Canadians.
They are.
That's right, yeah.
Yes,
part of our Canadian. There's quite a lot of Canadians entertaining in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a few. What was the toughest adjustment for you coming to Las Vegas compared to where you were raised?
I came here on vacation a lot, and it's not like when you come on vacation here. Like, I know that sounds stupid, but it really
isn't. Yeah, people think that you live in Caesar's Palace. When you say you live in Vegas, they think you are literally living in the casino all the time. Like, they don't get that you have grocery stores and all
of
that
sort of stuff. It was so different. And it was just different because I moved, and I knew Murray and Doug, and that was it. That was it. I didn't have any friends out here. I wasn't in a show. So, you know, it was me and Murray hanging out 24/7, and which is great. But, you know, I didn't drive at the time. I didn't have a driving license.
Plus, I mean, just learning how to drive on the other side of the road.
Well, I didn't drive in England either because I used public transport. I was on ships for a little bit, and when I was in Europe, you don't need a car. You're definitely not driving in London. It's ridiculous. You get the tube because that's normal. It's not like unsafe or anything. So. Yeah, it's been a busy 2 years. It's been ridiculous. Like, even, yeah, learning to drive, and then...
Is your current vehicle the one you learned to drive in? Tell us where your car is.
Well, no, I have a 69 Beetle, which was my first car, but I didn't learn in it. I got it just after my test. I learned in Murray's truck, which is like what year is it? 90 or 80? No, 90-something pickup truck.
Yeah.
Which is, it's stick. And he was like, you need to learn stick and automatic.
Oh, I don't even know how to drive stick.
But I can,
Murray's
you know
just
what?
Cool at that
I can
point.
Drive anything now, though. Like, yeah. I hate this. I'm driving right now because my car's in the shop having a new engine put in it, of course.
Because it's a 69 Beetle.
It's a 69 Beetle. But I'm driving his 73 Corvette. It's automatic, but it's...
This thing's parked out in the...
I saw it parked next to it.
It's a bad car.
But and people are always honking me and talking to me, and I'm like, oh, I just want to be left alone in the car. People want to buy it. I'm like, believe me, I'd sell it to you if I could. I'm not a fan. I feel like I'm laying in the... Like, I like to be close, and I'm still a new driver.
You're like, I'm a tiny girl. I don't want to be taking a nap.
I know. I have the seat so far forward. If Murray drives with me, his like, knees are up. By his ears because there's no space for
I heard it when I was walking. I was walking in and I didn't know you were in the car. I didn't know. You know, so I heard this blah, 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 blah. I was like, what is that? What is that? Blah, 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 blah. And the engine was idling.
Oh, yeah. I was charging my phone in the car.
I'm like, what is going on? Is that car? Is it occupied? And I seen there's Chloe way back in the recesses of the Stingray. But well, we got to wrap it up. Aww. Mrs. Sawchuck, thanks for coming down here.
Congratulations on all your success. I mean, that's incredible. Just, you know, especially so girls in Vegas try forever to get where you what you have done in such a short amount of time. So it's a testament to how talented
you are. I've been very, very lucky. Very, timing has been very good for me.
Yeah, and it's playboy.com. We can find you.
You can. Just and search me on there.
On stage at Fantasy and on also stage on stage Fantasy, with Murray at Laugh Factory. You're back on the 31st of March.
Yeah, Murray's is 4 p.m. every night at the Trop, and obviously Fantasy is 10:30. Oh, and I have a new website. I'm going to plug that quick. It's ChloeLouiseCrawford.com. It's very colorful. It's very good. It's taken me so long to get it, so I'm so glad it's finished.
ChloeLouiseCrawford.com.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Chloe Louise Crawford, thanks for coming down here. We'll do this again. Thanks.
Thank you.